As you know, prayer is when you talk with God. And I just want to ask a curious question here for young and old. Have you ever talked with God and said something like this? Dear God, I've done so many wrong things lately. I am such a sinner, and I need you to cleanse me. Forgive me, cleanse me, and change the things that I have done wrong. Have you ever prayed a prayer like that? You don't have to raise your hand or say anything like that, but I want you to keep those words in your mind as we read now from the Bible, from a letter written to an early church in the first century after Jesus was resurrected and ascended into heaven. Paul wrote to the church in Corinth these words found in 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 1. He said, "Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God." It was the wrong things that people were doing in their lives and with their lives in that early church in Corinth that held back the power of God in their lives, kept revival, a renewing of the Spirit of God from taking place in that first century church. And so Paul writes to them, led by the Spirit of God, and he makes this statement. He says, cleanse yourselves. Let us cleanse ourselves, perfecting holiness. In other words, we've got to get this right if we want to hear God speak, if we want the power of God in our lives. Now, here's the bottom line. God is the one who cleanses us from our sins. He's the one who cleanses our sins. But He requires that we join Him in that experience, in that process of cleansing. And we're going to look at that as we open the Scripture today and talk about this for a few moments. Years ago, I had the privilege of sitting under Dr. Leonard Ravenhill, who was an old Wesleyan Methodist evangelist. He's long since gone to be with the Lord. And I remember sitting in a conference where Dr. Ravenhill was talking to us, and he made this statement regarding holiness. He said, "The charismatics have failed because the basis of their testimony is not holiness." And that was several years before the Swaggerts or the Bakers were exposed and what they were doing in those days. And I want to hasten to add to that thought that we Baptists, unless we embrace holiness and perfect holiness in our lives and cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God, we're going to miss the power of God in our lives and our church too. It's always easier to want to purify the life of someone else than it is to purify our own lives. But notice that this verse that we read just a moment ago instructs us and tells us that God expects us to cleanse ourselves of all filthiness in the flesh and perfect holiness within our lives. Here's the key thought. Cleansing is God's work. That's what God does for us. But He commands us to join Him in that cleansing by cleansing ourselves of those things that have an unclean effect on us. I want you to listen to some of the scriptures that talk about this various thing. A letter to the Hebrews in chapter 12, verse 14, it says, follow peace with all men and holiness. In other words, follow holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Now, you underline those words in your Bible. Follow holiness, perfect holiness, without which no man will see the Lord. Cleansing our soul and spirit is really God's work. As I said to the children a few moments ago, I don't know any brand of soap anywhere that you can find that will wash away the stains or the effect of wrong thinking and wrong acting, wrongdoing in our lives. I agree totally with 1 John 1:9, which says, if we confess our sins, He, that is God, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And you see, that's God's part. But there's another part to this. There's an aspect of cleansing in that statement and in the two statements that we've just read here that involves you and me in our own lives. It's the part that our will and our effort has to do with cleansing. Things that have an unclean effect or a separating effect upon us and our relationship with God and with one another must be cleansed. And God isn't going to do that for us. We have to do that for ourselves. His part is the cleansing. Our part is the joining Him and putting away those things that have a wrong and harmful effect upon our lives. The world today and for all the generations has been looking for role models. And they had a role model in that first century church, and that role model was the Apostle Paul. And yet Paul says to the church there, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh, perfecting holiness in the Spirit of the Lord. Paul lived a life of holiness before the church. They could look at his life and see that God had made a difference in his life. And all through the generations, there have been people in the church who reflect this spirit of cleansing and holiness. Back in 1712, there was a great revival, a renewing, an outpouring of God's Spirit upon this country, one that I would pray in my heart would come again. And a great part of that influence came from a man whose name was Jonathan Edwards, a New England preacher. I want to share with you some thoughts about Jonathan Edwards. Many people said that he was a genius. He had a keen mind, and his writing and his preaching had a tremendous effect upon people who heard him and who read what he had to say. But I think the greatest testimony of all for Jonathan Edwards was that of his little daughter. Some said that his little daughter, who was 9 years of age when she wrote the words I want to share with you in a moment, had the vocabulary of a 39-year-old woman. She wrote a letter describing her father's praying and her mother's praying. And listen to what she had to say. You should hear my daddy weeping. My mother comes out of the closet in the morning and needs a veil over her face. She's so radiant. Little girls today catch their mothers coming out of the closet after a time of watching television and need a veil to hide their face from embarrassment. What we need today more than ever before is the example of that Paul is writing here. Let us cleanse ourselves. It's possible to have our biblical thinking, our theology, our teaching just right and still have no power. How do you explain that? You say, well, I've got my thinking right. I understand all the fine points of the Scripture. I was talking to a young man down the street yesterday, and we had a half hour conversation on the front porch. He was telling me how many different Bibles he had. But when I asked him the question, if you were standing before God right now, and he would say to you, why should I let you into my heaven? What would you say? He didn't know what to say. He didn't know what to say. You see, we can get our thoughts and our teaching together and have no spiritual power. How do we account for that? And it's here in this verse. Cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. If we ever expect to hear God speak, we must cleanse our hearts. We must cleanse ourselves as a church. How will people know that we are from God? How will people know this church is in harmony with God if it is not in our relationship with Him? Will it be the size of our buildings? And does that help people know, well, this really must be a great church because we got all these great buildings around us here? Let me tell you something. Some of the biggest church buildings in America today have had some of the greatest moral scandals in recent years. Will it be the size of our budgets? There are three or four preachers in America today who actually bring in to themselves and their ministries more money than the Southern Baptist Convention can gather together in an entire year to support 7,500 missionaries in 110 different countries of the world. But there's no power. No power. How will people know that we are from God? When they see us and they hear us and they observe us walking with God, when we cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and perfect a separate life with God. You can say amen. That's what it's all about. Here's the key thought. We have to take responsibility. We have to take responsibility for the way in which we live in the flesh and in the spirit if we ever want to hear from God. We have a part to do ourselves. What a contradiction we offer to the world. What a contradiction. I heard about a Baptist preacher evangelist who was about to lead a church in the mountains back up the hills here in a revival meeting, and he went knocking on doors in the mountainside community there. He found an old house with one of those porches that goes all the way across the front, and there was a rocking chair on the front porch and a little old lady sitting in the rocking chair, and he went up to her and he said, "Ma'am, would you like to come down and join us for a revival meeting?" And she said, "Where's it going to be?" He said, "Well, it's down at the Baptist church." And she said, "Nope, I don't belong to that abomination. I belong to another abomination." And so the evangelist wanted to hear more of what she had to say. And he said, "Well, when you go to church, where do you go? Do you go to the Baptist, the Methodist, the Presbyterian, or just which church do you go to?" She said, "Nope." And then she said, she stuck out her lip about that far, and she spit a stream of tobacco snuff juice about 6 foot down across the porch, and she said, "Holiness." What a contradiction to our, we present to the world when the world looks at our lives and they see what we do. When Jonathan Edwards' wife was 17 years of age, remember the preacher I was telling you about there? When his wife was 17 years of age, no wonder his little girl said, you should see my mother's face when she comes out of the prayer closet. It shines so brightly. People would say of her at age 17, they called her the girl to whom the great being talks to. Oh, wow. No wonder this little girl could say such about her mother. Cleansing ourselves. You know, we started out with the prayer that a moment ago, "Lord, cleanse me. I've done some wrong things." We missed part of it, didn't we? Paul says here we must cleanse ourselves of all the filthiness of the flesh and the spirit. We spend entirely too much of our time pleading with God to do things for ourselves that we should be doing ourselves. Asking God to do something for us that He expects us to do. Lord, help me to quit this wrong thing that I do or I think or I go to. You take it away, and God is saying, cleanse yourself. In other words, there is a partnership with God. There is a responsibility that we have, and God will do the cleansing. His part is to cleanse us through the blood of Jesus Christ. Boys and girls, it wasn't through the soap. It's through the blood of Jesus Christ. If we confess our sins, that's our part. He will cleanse us from all filthiness of the flesh. When we take responsibility for our sins. Years ago, a long number of years ago, I was a student in seminary, and it's during the days that Bob Harrington was also a student. You may remember Bob was an evangelist for a number of years. And Bob had a ministry down on Bourbon Street where folks often went to see the sights of the world, which they should not have seen. But Bob went down and worked with the people who were there and ministered to them. There were a lot of fallen folks in that community. One day, I heard this incident took place. Bob was walking down the street in New Orleans on Bourbon Street, and a drunk man lying on the side of the street called out to him, said, "Brother Bob, pray for me." Well, Bob just went over there and knelt right down beside him and started to pray. And he said, "Dear Lord, help this drunk man who..." And he said, "Stop, Brother Bob, don't tell him I'm drunk. Tell him I'm sick." If we don't take responsibility for our sins, we cannot expect God to cleanse us from our sins. "Lord, I'm attracted to these things, and I know they're wrong, and they're not holy signs of holy living. And so, Lord, take those things out of my library." You take them out. Cleanse yourself. I'm led to go to places where I shouldn't go. Lord, you take those away. Cleanse yourself. God cleanses us, but He expects us to take responsibility. Now, how do we do that? How do we do our part in this? Here's the key thought. The way of cleansing and holiness is through prayerful repentance, trusting in God's provision of cleansing through the blood of Jesus. It's pretty simple. We read it a moment ago. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9 says, if we confess our sins, that is, if we are responsible and admit our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You have here the wedding of God's part and our part. There's the first step. We confess. We admit. That's our part. We agree with God. This is wrong. These are wrong thoughts. This is a wrong act. This is a wrong thing to do. Lord, I have sinned. That's where the cleansing starts. And we won't be free of any sin in our lives until we confess it, until we admit it. It won't go away by itself. There's no miracle or miraculous way in which God just send that away. We'll never have to deal with that again. As long as we excuse it as not being wrong or not as bad as what other people do, or as long as we compare it to what others do, we're bound to that sin and empty of the power of God. So we confess it. We take responsibility for it. Lord, I'm not just exaggerating. I'm lying. Lord, I'm not just taking a cookie. I'm stealing a cookie because it's not mine. Secondly, move back just a sentence or two in that first chapter of John's Gospel, chapter 1, verse 7. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, then we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. See, that's the second thing. First, we take ownership. We take responsibility. Secondly, we walk in the light of God's Word. We adjust our path to the path of God and His presence. Cleansing will not come as long as disobedience stays. If you're bound by some habit that is wrong, it controls you. You cannot leave it alone. As long as you embrace that sin, cleansing doesn't come. You have to cast it off, put it away. Separate yourself. Walk in the light of God's Word, in obedience to God's Word. And then thirdly, finally, he says here, cleansing is perfected by trusting in the provision that God has made through and in the blood of Jesus Christ. Yes, it's true that God's grace covers all our sins. It is amazing. It is so amazing that God would have mercy upon a sinner, that God would cleanse us. And sometimes when I hear people who have walked in the darkness for so long and they have now come to the light of Christ, I even have to gulp myself and remember the grace of God is so gracious that it covers all of our sins. I have to believe, just as you believe, in the trusting power and trust in the power of God's grace. Trusting God to be the God who cleanses us, the God who delivers us, the God who makes us what we ought to be. In these days, as the search team of your church begins to listen for the voice of God, and this it's so important that you as a church begin to listen also. And for you to hear God speak, there has to be a fellowship with Him. We must walk in fellowship with Him, with one another. That's why it's so important that we hear these words and our responsibility. Not only that God cleanses us, but that we cleanse ourselves. Let me just close with this illustration of what I'm talking about here. In history, there was a great general, a famous general by the name of Alexander. He led the Greek armies in conquering nation after nation and died actually at an early age in his early 30s. But he was such a powerful and genius military man that all of his followers, his troops, admired him and listen to his words. On one occasion, a soldier who had abandoned a battle, had run away in a battle, was caught by his men and brought to Alexander. And of course, the penalty for such a thing, for leaving the field of a battle in the time of a conflict, would be death. And they threw this man down in the dirt at the feet of Alexander the Great. This young general looked at the man for a moment, and he said, "Soldier, what's your name?" And the soldier, thinking that any moment his whole life would be taken from him, he stammered out, "Alexander." And then Alexander the Great stood to his feet, and he looked down at that soldier, and he shouted at him. He said, "Soldier, what's your name?" And the guy shouted back, he said, "Alexander." And Alexander the Great pointed his finger at him and he said, "Soldier, change your ways or change your name. What's your name? Christian. What's your name? Christian. Change your name or change your ways. Cleanse ourselves. of all filthiness, perfecting holiness in the Spirit of God. Let's pray. Father, thank you for speaking to our hearts today. Holy Spirit of God, search our hearts and try us and see if there be within us, Lord, any unclean way, and lead us in the way of righteousness for your name's sake. Lord, pour out your Spirit upon our lives. We need your voice of wisdom. We need the answers to questions in our lives. We need the deliverance from the world that we are a part of. We know that the strength and grace that you provide is there for us. Lord, we surrender our hearts to you. We confess our sins before you. We pray for your forgiveness. We trust in the blood of Jesus to cleanse us and set us in the way that is life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This morning, as we let these words ring in our hearts and our minds, my prayer is that God has spoken to your heart, and that there is something in His Word that will make a difference in your life. And if so, today, if you would follow Jesus Christ as your Savior, that you'd choose this time to say, I will stand up and follow Jesus. He will be the Lord of my life. It may be you just simply want to come and kneel in prayer and say, Lord, I will cleanse my heart and my life of this or that or the other, trusting in the power of Jesus to change my life and to cleanse me too. As we're waiting, as we sing a final song, you come this morning, share with us the decision of your heart, and may God bless as He works His work of cleansing. Let's stand as we sing together.
Search me, O God, and know my heart today. Try me, O Savior, know my thoughts, I pray. See if there be some wicked way.